You know, gardeners tend to be, I would call them visionaries over winter. And in the start of spring, I would call gardeners perfectionists. But reality strikes after after spring. The garden starts, there may be diseases that show up. There could be weeds that take over and get, you know, sort of wipe you out. Larry Mueller here. Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Today, we'll find out how you can redeem yourself next year with a healthier garden and a more blossoming garden. Patty Nagai is the expert in all these matters. She's a UW Extension horticulture educator for Racine County, always has a wealth of information to share. You may have questions or comments. I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. And Patty, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's always good to be here. And this is my favorite time of year. And yeah, you know I love to talk gardening any time of year. So,
oh, fall is such a fun time of the year.
It is. And, you know, fall is one of those seasons that people do get a little bit overwhelmed. They're tired. They just want to put everything to bed and forget about it for a while. You know, hibernate like the bears, I think. But in actuality, fall is such a great season for gardening. And I really want people to go into fall and winter with a really positive attitude.
Well, you know what? I posted a photo on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. I hope people go and see it. It's a photo of one of my straw bales that was holding one of my tomato plants. Mm-hmm. And the straw bale is pretty much disintegrated. The tomato plant is still up, and it's just the bare root hanging in the air. It's quite a sight.
But is there fruit on the plant?
Yes.
That's all that matters. This time of year, tomato plants usually look pretty sad, but if they still have fruit on them, you know, you got to look at the silver lining of all of these things.
Well, I thought it was pretty funny. You know, I watered the roots, the bare roots. The plant's still green.
That's good.
Some of the roots are still kind of in the bale. Anyway, that one's, I tell you, that's worth looking at. As you listen today, at some point, go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show and take a look at the photo I posted there of one of my tomato plants. Well, it's a good time of the year to sort of look at your garden, isn't it?
Right. And one of the things I like to encourage people to do is take their camera out now while they can and go all around the yard, do a walk around your entire yard and take pictures of everything. Don't worry about beauty shots or close-ups of specific flowers or butterflies you might see along the way. But take some big pictures so that you can start making that list of what you need to do now, what you need to think about over the winter, and then what you can do in the next year or years to come, so that you have something tangible to look at over the winter, you know, as part of that planning process. But this time of year can be overwhelming for gardeners because there is so much that you have to think about. And I know in previous weeks you've been talking about putting your gardens to bed and bringing in your containers and taking care of this and cutting this back and not cutting that back and taking care of all these things. And people get a little overwhelmed, and then all of a sudden it snows and they go, well, so much for that. We are done.
We're done.
So it's good to have those priorities so that you get the really important things taken care of first, and the rest of it you can think about over winter.
Yeah, I like to keep the hose out because I like to water right up to the...
Right, and for those evergreens, that is a really critical thing to do. So that's one of those things you really need to put high on your priority list. So you are a good gardener.
Well, I tell you what, there have been times when I've... carried that hose kind of into the house, straight in, and then down the... You couldn't bend the hose. I was worried about...
Oh, it froze on you.
And I had to take it down to the basement and put it by the...
This is also that time of year where you really have to watch the weather carefully, because I still have a lot of things outside that have no business being outside in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Soon.
Well, so, you know,
I need to have a plan to bring those things inside
and make sure that they're sitting outside yet.
Yes, I have lemons, limes outside.
Yeah. Where are you taking yours in?
when Mother Nature tells me, or the weatherman says, hey, it's going to get below 30 degrees tonight, probably bring your lemon trees in, Patty.
Well, the limey is producing limes to beat the band here again, so...
Yeah, you know, the longer you can leave it out, the better it is. But if you get close to those frost temperatures, if you get, you know, down into those low 30-degree temperatures, it won't kill the plant, but when you bring it back in, you may find that it drops those limes or drops leaves or doesn't really perform very well for you once you bring it back in. So you need to time it a little bit more carefully than that so that you're not exposing it to super cold temperatures.
Well, Rosemary in Fountain City has a question, so let's go there. Hi, Rosemary. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my question. Actually, I have several questions, but the first one is I was able to get several pails of dry chicken manure from when the chicken coop was cleaned out, and I'm wondering, should I work that into the soil now in the fall? Or how should I handle that?
When was the chicken coop cleaned?
It was cleaned the day I went up and got it from them.
Were there still chickens in the chicken coop?
No.
How long has it been since the chickens have been in the chicken coop?
That I don't know.
Okay, so the question...
Been a long time from the sound
of it. Yeah, it may be fine, but the concern that we have about any kind of animal manure in the garden is that the recommendation is all manures should be fully composted for at least 1 year before they're used in the garden.
Oh.
And that's a safety concern. In previous years when we didn't have so many wonderful little microorganism issues with manures,
mm-hmm.
The biggest concern was burn from the nitrogen. And
right.
Poultry manure is by far the best and the most rich of the manures with respect to nitrogen. And so, you know, the concern was you could literally burn your plants because the nitrogen levels were so high.
Mm-hmm.
But now our concern is more about the any kind of little bug that might be in there that you don't want to introduce into your plants or into you. So it needs to be handled carefully. If you're going to put it down in a non-vegetable area and incorporate it in the soil, you know, by next year, it's probably going to be okay. But if you're not really certain how long or how fresh that manure is, it would be better to put it into your compost pile and then use it next year.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Uh-oh. It sounds like perhaps you have already done something with that manure that you weren't supposed to do.
Well, I have layered terraces, and I was going to put it on each terrace of my vegetable garden and work and till it in. My husband tells me the chickens had been taken out about 7 days earlier.
Oh, that's not long enough.
Okay.
No, you need to compost it before you use it,
yeah,
just for safety.
Yeah, you don't want to take a chance. Nothing to...
No.
I mean, it's going to be great in a year.
Right.
Next, you know, the
but
next
that
year?
Is the official recommendation, and it's based on good research, and you definitely don't want to mess around with safety issues, food safety issues.
No, but a year from now...
A year from now, it'll be great.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Rosemary. Nancy from Tomahawk emailed and wondered, she says, I'm wondering if I can still transplant my peonies or if it's too late. It's been so mild this year, so I'm hoping I can still accomplish this. The area in which they are currently planted has grown shadier over the year, and they do not receive adequate sun.
You know, peonies are one of those perennial plants that fall is a great time to transplant them. So if you can do it now and do it quickly, that's a great thing to do. The biggest issue with transplanting peonies is to make sure that you don't plant them too deeply. Even a half inch deeper than where they are currently, and they will not bloom for you. So make sure that you plant them at the correct depth, incorporate organic matter, and make sure that they stay watered.
You know, whenever I have a peony question, I go to the Miss Peony, Judith Sears Poisson, who knows her peonies from one end to the other. I can tell you that for sure.
I had the best batch of peony blossoms ever this year.
I've seen photos of her peonies.
I have no idea.
They're wonderful.
See, Judith, you could have answered that peony question.
No, because you just made me scared that if I ever do move it, I'm never going to get it at the right depth, and it'll never bloom again.
Well, she's a bloomer for sure. She gets those peonies to bloom, and she also helps me get you to reach for your pocketbook a little bit, too. Here we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio membership drive, our fall membership drive. Judith is with me to encourage you to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your gift to support the programs you count on.
And last hour, we heard from 47 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. The goal now is to get 40 pledges this hour.
And you'll want to make that donation to pay for the programs you rely on. And because your gift, any amount, automatically enters you in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip.
So help us meet the goal and get entered in the drawing. It's a win-win with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Did you know that Master Gardeners can get continuing education credits for listening to Garden Talk? That just goes to show what a valuable resource Garden Talk is to listeners like you. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert or a novice.
We have some of the best gardening resource people in our state right here week after week to answer your questions, whether it's about fruit trees, organic gardening, rose bushes, the stuff that comes out of a chicken coop, or many other topics. So apply some of that well-composted fertilizer to the program right now by making your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I tell you what, don't get hit by those flying water bottles. We've got flying water bottles flying out of the Wisconsin Public Radio.
They are so popular.
Oh, my goodness, are they popular. And during this membership drive, you might want to get on the bandwagon. You'll get a new WPR water bottle when you give $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more. Your donation supports the programs you count on, and you can also get this cool water bottle.
Just like it's important to water your plants, it's important to stay hydrated. So show your support for WPR while you take in that daily water allotment. Check out the design at WPR.org and ask for yours now when you pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This membership drive, we're having a drawing for a trip of your choice to South Africa, Cuba, or Canada. When you give, you're automatically entered, but you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, by making a pledge right now.
And you can make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. And maybe your gift is $5 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on every gift.
Make your pledge in the form of an ongoing monthly gift of $15 or $20 a month, or whatever amount fits your budget. You can set up that sustaining gift on your credit card or debit card, or better yet, right from your bank account. When you make that sustaining gift, you don't have to remember to renew your support every year.
Your support will be as consistent as your WPR listening month after month, year after year, and you can become a sustainer right now. Just make your gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Because you have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite, chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important role in that sense of identity, that sense of belonging. We really do serve the entire state.
And on Wisconsin Public Radio, you get news, you get voices, you get music, you get sounds from around the state. Over time, all of these broadcasts add up to a strong sense of connection to the state that we call home and love.
It's really true. Wisconsin Public Radio is a home that we all share, and it's funded in large part by listeners. In fact, 40% of our budget comes from our listeners. So please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I want to thank you for spending time with Wisconsin Public Radio today, and maybe you found us by scanning the dial, or maybe a friend Recommended the Great Music or Garden Talk or one of our weekend programs, you're staying tuned because you like what you hear.
Because you like what you hear, help pay for your public radio station. You choose the amount. $5 a month is a great starting point, or whatever amount is comfortable for you. But the important thing is to become our next new member at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Love to hear from you. Thank you so much for the contributions that you've made to Wisconsin Public Radio. As we said, we work on the honor system here. You don't have to pay for it, but the whole thing works because you do choose to support it. So how about a pledge right now? Let's $10 a month. How about that?
The important thing is you decide on the amount, but the really big step is to then go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Your gift supports the programs you hear every day on WPR.
I said $10 a month, but maybe your gift should be $20 a month or $100 a month, or maybe it's $5 a month. You know, how much should I give? Well, that's up to you. Your contribution, any amount, will be turned into great programs. Programs that are going to keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Remember, you can make that pledge of any amount right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And when you do that, you really do play an essential part in funding the programs you count on every day.
We have, we need 26 more pledges to go. We got about 35 minutes or so to get those pledges. Your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Gift is very powerful. It really makes a difference. Go now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. If you have a gardening question, I hope you'll join in. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Patty Nagai, UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Racine County. We can talk about the fall garden. We can answer questions about maybe what happened in your garden this summer or as we're going into the fall season, or maybe something from last spring even. We are here to help out. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. That's certainly love to hear from you. Thinking about improving the garden for next year, Patty, before we go back to the phones, what are some things that we ought to be thinking about now in terms of improving next year?
Well, it depends on what kind of gardening you're doing, of course. But if you're, if you're into perennials and flowers and things like that, this is the time of year to really critically look at how your plants are growing, whether or not they have dead centers, or maybe they didn't do so well, or they're creeping somewhere where they're not supposed to be. So this is the time to dig, divide, thin, move around, and even the time to plant new perennials. So fall is a great time for gardening because the soil is still warm. We typically have very good rainfall, so we're looking at a lot of really nice environmental conditions for those root systems to establish. You know, one of the reasons that tulips and garlic do so well planted in the fall, they do need that chilling requirement. But it's also because in the fall, when you plant them, they're able to develop a massive root system before winter actually gets here. And so by spring, they have this beautiful root system already developed and ready to shoot up. If you're looking at your vegetable garden or your herb garden, this is the time of year where you want to look and see, you know, did I have disease problems, nutrient problems? I'm going to pull this stuff out. I'm not going to compost disease material. I am going to compost other things and make a plan now where you're going to plant next year so that you get those crop rotations in and you don't keep planting your tomatoes in the same spot every year and then wonder why you're getting septoria and early blight on those leaves every year. Well, every year I get these diseases.
Same thing happens every year.
That's because you're planting them in the same diseased soil every year, so you need to get those into a new location. So lots of things to look at like that. You know, it's not necessarily the time to prune everything, but it's the time to plan, you know, what you're going to prune and when you're going to do it.
You know, I'm planting all my tomatoes in bales anymore, so I don't have to worry about that. Yeah. You know, I just get new bales every year.
I did quite a bit of straw bale gardening this year also.
Did you have luck?
Well, with some things. It seems to be kind of species specific. The tomatoes did okay in there. The peppers, not as good for some reason. Squash does really well in straw bales.
Yeah.
I think some of it has to do with the age of the straw bale as well. I mean, I looked at your picture over the break to see what your straw bale looked like.
And I think there wasn't much left of it.
Yours was pretty well aged. But if you get a really new straw bale that's very fresh, it doesn't always do as well because it takes so much longer for the inside of that straw bale to decompose to the point where the plant can develop a nice, healthy root system like your tomato was exhibiting.
I had, and I really did a good job of seasoning, too, in the spring.
Right.
I actually went further than, you know, even recommended.
What I've been recommending to people who are interested in trying this is to get their straw bales now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, straw bales, a lot of people are selling them, so they're pretty easy to find because they use them for Halloween decorations.
Yeah, yeah.
So buy your straw bales now, set them up in your garden area where you want to have them for next year, and let nature kind of start the process for you over winter.
Yeah,
and then by spring, you can add some compost and, you know, a little bit of fertilizer if you choose, and, you know, they'll
there
be ready
go.
To go.
Yeah. Well, Merrily in New Auburn has a question for us, so let's go there. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, we had a problem this year with our cauliflower. Popped up, grew, had wonderfully green leafy leaves, mm-hmm. but never developed heads. What can we do to get develop the cauliflower head?
That's not good.
No, and you know, cauliflower is one of those plants, you know, sometimes I have luck with it and sometimes I don't. There may be some issue with the fertility of your soil. If you're using a lot of compost and a lot of nitrogen fertilizer, it may have inhibited the head formation. It could be the weather, you know, temperature affects whether or not cauliflower develops that curd, which is technically what that thing is called that we eat.
Is that what it's called?
It's called a curd.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know that.
It's a curd. It's this strange structure. But everything in that whole brassica family is kind of a mutation. You know, each one of them is a mutation of cabbage. So it's, you know, it's a fun family. It's one of my favorite plant families, actually, because there's so much diversity in it. And it's completely edible. It's all edible. So, you know, the good news about your cauliflower is that you could eat the leaves and at least get something out of the plant.
Okay.
But if it hasn't developed a curd by now, it's probably not
You
are curdless for the year.
I'm curdless.
And you know, what you might want to do is look at the cultivar that you grew this year and try some different cultivars next year. And then make sure that that you're planting them at the right time and they're not getting chilled too early. Because they are sensitive to that. So they are, you know, that family's very cold hardy and they can withstand a lot of cool temperatures. But there are certain stages of development that if they get exposed to too cold of a temperature, it really affects the development of either that curd or with broccoli, the flowering head. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. You know, and this year, I got into grilling cauliflower a lot and trying. I had some different recipes, just slicing it up and grilling it, and boy, it was really good.
I've discovered that at least one of my children really loves cauliflower, and so I can do all sorts of things with it. And it's very, I love cauliflower.
Oh, it was fun on the grill.
It's hard to find a vegetable that I don't like.
I actually like it better on the grill than any other way, to be perfectly honest.
I'll have to try that. I haven't done it that way.
Oh, it's great. Heather in River Falls, it's your turn. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. Actually, I have two. One is it too late in the year to transplant hostas? I have a friend who wants to get rid of a bunch of them, and I would love to take them, but I don't know if...
Take them. Plant them.
Yeah,
no.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah, they'll
okay.
be fine. Cut them back. You know, cut them back. Make sure that where you're planting them is a nice, well-drained location. Make sure they get watered in. Sometimes when we plant and transplant things a little bit later in the fall, it's a good idea to come back after the ground freezes and put down a winter mulch just to keep them from frost heaving out of the soil,
okay.
because late planted perennials will sometimes push themselves out of the soil in the winter.
Point.
But But winter mulch is done after the ground freezes. So don't do it now.
Right.
Wait until the soil freezes before you put it down. And your second question.
My second question is my soon-to-be husband has four beautiful apple trees in his yard, but I spent more time cutting out where the bugs dug in than I ended up just throwing away so many apples because of the bugs. What do you need to do to get rid of those little, the things that dig in, they're like pinhole size.
Right. You know, there are a couple. We have coddling moth and plum curculio are probably the two worst insects for apples. We have some excellent publications on our UW Extension publication site, learningstore.uwx.edu, on apples, both training pruning apples and all of the recommendations for homeowner pest management on apple trees. There are some critical times that pesticides need to be applied to make sure that those insects don't become a problem in the future. There are also some organic techniques that have been used fairly successfully, but organic techniques are more labor-intensive and tend to be a little bit more expensive, but there are some organic ways to keep those insects from burrowing into the apples as well.
But and that's on our website.
It's on the website. So go to learningstore.uwex.edu and search for Apple, and you'll find just a huge array of great publications that will help you with those.
Wonderful. Thank you. Larry, if you could put that on your Facebook page, I would love you forever.
Yeah, we'll post it. We'll post. I think I might already have a link, but
it
we'll,
might already be there.
Randy will put up another link.
You'd probably love him forever anyway.
I do.
Thanks, Heather. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Brandy Funker is our on-air producer, by the way, who's doing her normal, marvelous job. We'll post that site on our Facebook page. And while you're there, take a look at my picture of my my straw bale, my tomato plant growing, and what's left of the one straw bale. That straw bale, for some reason, that one just
fell apart.
Disintegrated. Yeah. I mean, it just went straight down. The others are not
They're not always the same age.
No.
When you get them from the farmer, it just depends on, you know, when they were harvested and baled.
Yeah. Well.
But it looked good. I looked at your tomato. It looked fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think you did a good job.
Great tomatoes this year. Susan in New Berlin, it's your turn. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have two questions.
Okay.
The first one is our vegetable garden. It's 25 by 60. And we've had corn in there, a lot of different vegetables. And once they all came up, we stopped weeding. So now, should we till it before it gets tilled again in the spring or gets tilled in the spring?
The second question was
dividing my perennials. I have like hyssop, licorice hyssop. I want to know if I can divide that now instead of in the spring.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the perennials you can divide and replant now, and it works really well. Just make sure that you are cutting them back and watering them in and planting them in the proper location for that particular species. With regard to the vegetable garden, you know, that's kind of a contentious issue for some people. Our soils people will tell you that tilling is horrible. It's an addictive thing, and you should never till your soil because it ruins your soil structure. But in a practical manner, sometimes it is a good thing to do. But you have to realize that every time you till, you're actually, turning up more weed seeds. So one of the things you might consider doing, I realize it's a big area, but if you really want to cut back on those weeds, consider bringing in compost, some kind of organic matter like that, or putting down layers of newspaper and topping it with compost and then essentially smothering those weeds and the weed seeds. And then when you get ready to plant in the spring, you can just plant right through that compost and the paper, which will essentially smother out everything.
Yeah, it's a nice way to do it. It's a nice, clean way to do it.
It is, and it really works well. And, you know, for smaller gardens, of course, that's an easier process to undertake than in a big one. I mean, 20 by 60, that's a pretty good size garden.
That's a pretty good size garden.
But you could still do it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Patty Nagai. Patty is UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Racine County. It's always so much fun to have her come by, and it's always great to have Judith Sears Poisson stop by as well.
I'm always happy to come see you.
I know you are. And one of the reasons she's happy is she knows that we are going to talk you into supporting Wisconsin Public Radio and Garden Talk. I hope you'll give now during our fall membership drive. Support the Garden Talk program. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 13 more pledges in the next 25 minutes or so. Absolutely doable with your support. You give to WPR to support the station you love.
And this is exciting. Pledge any amount and you're automatically entered to win two tickets to go on a WPR trip. You could choose a cultural tour of Cuba. You could choose an adventure in South Africa or a train trip to the Canadian Rockies. And you don't have to donate to enter. Just go to WPR.org for all those details. Thank you if you've already given, and if you haven't, help pay for the programs you enjoy and enter our drawing by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation today with Patty Nagai. I've learned so much just sitting here listening. It happens every time Patty's on. It happens every time I listen to Garden Talk. This program is an example of the informative and substantial conversations we have on the show.
So I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to make this program and many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We know that you give to WPR to support the programs you love. And we have something special during this fall membership drive. You can ask for the WPR water bottle when you give $12.50 a month. That comes out to $150 a year or more.
Yeah, they're flying out of our stores right now. It's a 27-ounce stainless steel bottle with a WPR design. You have two color options. Ask for the water bottle now and show your support for WPR when you make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
WPR has been around for a long time, coming up on 100 years, actually, because we're committed to quality. That quality is possible thanks to you. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget. It's actually 40% of our budget.
Your contribution makes this program possible and so many others as well. You're part of the quality you hear every day on WPR when you donate at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
I have many favorites. I like the music for casual listening, but when I want to pay attention, when I want to do intentional listening, then I like anything that Larry Miller does. I do like Chapter a Day. In fact, I usually try to catch that twice, both early in the day and late at night. I like Saturday morning, Classics by Request, and I love the folk music program on Sunday evening. I like all the NPR offerings, especially Prairie Home Companion and All Things Considered. I listen all the time. I'm Lorraine Henning from Eau Claire, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for intellectual stimulation.
And you can pledge right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. Larry Miller here with Judith Sears Poisson asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And I just want to go back to that lovely testimonial that we just heard. She said that she loves everything that Larry Miller does. A caller right before said that she'll love Larry forever. I mean, there's a theme here. Kathy from Weston, when she made her gift, said, longtime listener, enjoy the programs, love Larry, finally made the decision to support. You know, we know that you love the programs, but you know, you also feel like Larry Miller's a friend of yours, I'm betting, and it's true. One common factor among WPR listeners is that, you know, they love to listen and they love to read, and I'm betting that you've gotten a lot of book recommendations from your WPR listening, whether it's a book on Chapter a Day or one of the great authors that Larry talks with during the week, or something new you heard on a news program that makes you want to go out and learn more on the topic.
Your WPR listening leads to a never-ending book list, and your donation right now makes that kind of endless enjoyment and discovery possible. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. to keep the book recommendations coming.
And can I just say that I recently joined a book club, and I can't even tell you how many books I recommend that are things I heard on Larry's show, on other shows, on WPR. Yeah. It's amazing. Help pay for the programs you depend on and that you count on being there. We are still looking for 8 more pledges in the next 20 minutes.
8 more pledges in the next 20 minutes. When you give, you'll be entered in a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip of your choice. Any amount of pledge is your chance to enjoy the very best of Cuba or see the beauty of South Africa or take a train trip to the Canadian Rockies.
Make your donation now. You'll support the programs you enjoy and get entered into that amazing drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You don't have to donate to enter, but we hope you will. Just go to WPR.org for all the details.
8 more pledges to go, and we got about 15 minutes or thereabouts to get those pledges. Your pledge right now during our fall membership drive makes such a big difference. And it's a nice vote for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network, too. Go now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thanks. If you've already contributed, thank you so much. If you haven't contributed yet, do it right now. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Next week on Garden Talk, we'll be talking about what to do with your remaining garden herbs. So we'll be doing that next week. Right now, visiting with Patty Nagai, UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Racine County. And lots of callers online at 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Jean in Marshfield. Jean, hi. Thank you so much for calling.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a Larry Mueller fan, too.
Thank you.
In the club. I have a question about a bed that I have that I'm very fond of, and I've let the daylilies be the front row. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're too tall and they're very thick.
Right.
And so I know this is a tough job. Are there any tips for thinning those to divide those?
Well, don't be afraid of your plants is my tip. Go in there with great strength, vigor, and a sharp implement. You want to cut the foliage back, and then you might be able to see better where to make the divisions. I like to use a sharp, straight-edged shovel, a spade that has a really sharp, straight edge on it, and I just jam it down in there and start digging away and getting those things out. Daylilies aren't as tough as iris or Siberian iris. It's not too late, but you need to do it soon, you know, or it will be too. Marshfield is a little, But I still think you're probably okay if you could do it this weekend and get it done. Alternatively, you can wait and do it next spring. If you can't get out there to do it right away.
It's probably easier now.
But it probably is a lot easier to do it now. And then if you're going to move them out completely, then you just need to make sure that you have a place to put them all and you get them all settled in and watered before winter comes. I hate even saying that, but it's coming.
Is it easier to water them before you do that, before you cut?
It depends on how much rain you've had. If you start digging around and the soil is really hard, you would want to water them probably the day before you go in there to dig. But, you know, whatever makes the digging easier.
Yeah, try it today. And if it's if it's a little bit hard, why throw some water on it today and then you can do it tomorrow.
Do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Or hire a young, strong neighbor child to do it for you.
That's the best idea yet.
I that might be my best tip ever.
Thanks a lot for calling. I was about 14-year-old guy. Kid next door is a really good kid.
Yeah, I like football players. You know, they're
he's a soccer
good
player.
Good work ethic. And
he's a good soccer player.
Strong back. That's great.
Dan in Warren, Illinois has a comment. So let's go to him. Thank you, Dan Don. I'm sorry, Don. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Good morning. I'll tell you what works for us. Some years ago, we read in Discover magazine of soil that had in the Amazon that had been amended with charcoal. So we got on the internet and we found how to make charcoal in a 50-gallon barrel. We got a tiny little farm out on the edge of a small community. We have been making charcoal out of wood, and then we switched to corn cobs. We have put that in the soil about 10, 12 years ago, maybe not quite that long. We got a couple truckloads of horse manure, and we have had that covered with plastic, and that is pure gold.
Wow.
We have strawberries in the same spot for more than 10 years, and every fall after we mow the strawberries off, we cover them with this composted horse manure. We have about four different gardens so that we can move things around so we don't conflict with what was there previous. We have added the charcoal. We haven't figured out how to get it fine yet, but we're still putting it in, and we feel that it has done a remarkably good job, and the charcoal doesn't break down. It cleanses the soil, it holds moisture, and it holds nutrition, and it absorbs sunlight and all these things we need, and it has worked very, very well for us. And of course, The composted horse manure is a little tough to come by, and
it's but I'm telling you right now, Don, that composted horse manure is maybe part of the really big reason why things are going so well. But what about this charcoal?
So charcoal is interesting, and there are times when we incorporate charcoal in, for example, potting mixes, because it does have sort of a cleansing effect and helps reduce some contaminants. But one of the issues that we have in many of our soils here in Wisconsin is high pH, and I would think charcoal would probably not be the best for a lot of
some
areas.
Soils, anyway. For
And it probably depends on the type of soil you have, and obviously it is working for Don, and that's great. I'm a big believer that if something's working for you really well, and if it's not doing any harm, then by all means keep doing it. But it's probably not for everybody, because charcoal could cause some problems for people who have really high pH soils. It's interesting though, because when we're looking at especially container-grown plants, there are a lot of interesting materials that are used that are kind of like substrates for nutrient and moisture holding that really don't offer any benefit unto themselves, except for they are just substrates for aeration and root growth and nutrient exchange and things like that. So it could be that it's doing that sort of thing in his soil. But I agree with you, Larry. I think that composted horse manure is probably the reason that things are growing really well. And he also said something else that was really key, and that's he's rotating his crops around, which is super important.
Obviously a great gardener.
Yeah, obviously. Thanks for calling, Don.
Yeah, thanks, Don. Mary and Eau Claire, I want to give her a chance to join in. Mary, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks. I'm wondering about, I've got a bunch of lovely potted herbs that I still got outside,
Okay.
Put them in the garage at night, heavy as they are.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best time to bring them in?
Are you sure you want to do that?
Okay, yeah. Should I cut them back?
Right. And that there are several things to consider here, and I appreciate your little conundrum here with these things, because I have so many things in beautiful containers outside that I would love to be able to bring in. But the truth is, you can't bring everything in, and not everything will do well when you bring it inside. So you have to make some hard decisions about what's going to do the best, what is going to work the best in your interior environment, because the brightest window in your house is still going to be shadier than the shadiest spot in your yard. So there is a huge difference in light levels inside, and herbs for the most part like full sun, and you're not going to attain that in your house. It doesn't mean that you can't grow herbs in your house. You obviously can. People do it all the time. You need a bright window. You need some additional light source to help them grow well. If you're there are some things that could stay outside if they were in the ground. Sage and oregano, thyme, mm-hmm. even some of the lavenders. These are hardy. Mm-hmm. Some of the lavenders are hardy. Well, maybe not in Eau Claire. They are in southeast Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But if you want to bring them in and you're looking for beauty in your house, if you're looking for culinary use or potpourri use, you probably don't want to cut them back completely because you will be using that material. But cutting them back, cleaning up the pots, making sure you're not bringing in any insects or other little critters with the pots is always a good thing. But the biggest thing is to make sure that you've got a nice, healthy place to keep those plants so that they can continue to thrive and not slowly die on you.
There we go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Patty Nagai, UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Racine County, our guest today here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Judith Sears-Poisson joins us as well during our fall membership drive. You rely on WPR for informative and in-depth discussions. And we rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong. And your gift right now, any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's such a great time to donate because when you pledge, you'll be entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip.
Donate any amount during our fall membership drive and you could experience the culture and music of Cuba. You could explore South Africa. You can enjoy the Canadian Rockies by train. Don't have to donate to enter. Just go to WPR.org for those details. You help pay for the Larry Mueller Show and get entered in a drawing when you give at WPR.org or when you phone 888-202-2552.
At the end of a program, you'll often hear the guests say, "Thanks for your great listeners. Those were great calls. You're indeed thoughtful, active listeners, and we thank you for contributing to the quality of WPR programs with your questions and comments. And thank you for your financial support as well. It really makes all of these great conversations possible. If you haven't pledged yet, do it now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This membership drive, you can choose the new WPR water bottle as your thank you gift for your pledge of $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more. Your pledge supports the programs, and you're going to love this water bottle.
It's a 27-ounce stainless steel bottle with the WPR logo. The design is really cool, and it's a great color combination of dark blue and light blue. You can see that bottle at WPR.org and ask for yours when you pledge online at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552. Pledge now and show your WPR pride.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable, but nothing in life that is of value is truly free. Being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing. And I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during our fall membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of WPR and your gift. Maybe it's $10 or $15 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Is listening to WPR worth $4 a day to you? Well, if it is, consider becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members are listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs. That works out to less than $4 a day.
If you find that you've been getting more value from WPR in the past year, consider a contribution that puts you in that 9XM Leadership Circle. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
A lot of people listen to WPR while driving. We hear from people who are glad to know the weather forecast around the state as they set out on a long trip. And we hear from people who are sorry to reach their destination too soon because they were so engrossed in what they were listening to.
If you've ever sat in your car to hear the end of something, you've experienced a driveway moment. I did that at a gas station when I was listening to WPR. I had sat in the car for a few minutes before I could get out to get the gas in the car. Anyway, maybe that's happened to you. And if it has, all the more reason to pledge at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. If you're driving right now, please pull over to make your pledge.
If you're sitting in a driveway listening, though, you can do it right now. Terry from Larson says, WPR is my main source for news, education, and entertainment. From listening to Larry Mueller while mowing the lawn and changing my mowing height, thanks for the tip, Larry, to learning about amazing and inspiring breakthroughs on Science Friday, I always learn something applicable to my life. Well, Terry, I couldn't say it better than that. You know, we count on you to give to WPR to support the programs you enjoy and rely on, and your pledge of any amount enters you in a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip. Donate for your chance to travel to Cuba, tour South Africa, or see the gorgeous Canadian Rockies. You don't have to enter or donate to enter, but we hope you will. You can go to WPR.org for all the details.
Listeners make the programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio worthwhile, but members make the programs possible. You get all these great shows because members kick in a large portion of WPR's budget, the single largest part. So become a member now. Help make WPR possible with your gift of $5 a month or any amount you choose at WPR.org. or by phoning 888-202-2552.
You love WPR because it's your source for intelligent and informative radio. There are costs associated with high-quality radio, and that's where you come in. Your support is so important.
Make a pledge. It really takes hardly any time at all. It's quick and easy. You'll be finished in no time at all. Your contribution, any amount, say $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org, or at 888-202-2552, makes WPR possible.
And don't forget, if you're not already a sustaining member, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can do that right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift is powerful. It really does make a difference. Go to WPR.org and make your contribution, or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you if you've already contributed. Great to have you along for this edition of Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Patty Nagai, UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Racine County. And Judith Sears-Poisson stopping by for a minute.
Yes.
Judith, we got some important news.
Important news to share just during this half hour. We have a very generous challenge grant from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. They will match your donation this half hour, dollar for dollar, up to $2,500. So I didn't want to waste any time since it's only for this half hour. So dollar for dollar match from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association up to $2,500. You can make that gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Please do that right now. Dale in River Falls has a question for us. So let's go to Dale next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I'm happy to tell you that as of this morning, I am a new sustaining member.
All right,
ooh,
thank you.
Outstanding.
All right, so I have two questions. The first is around my wife and I have been interested in trying to plant garlic.
Okay,
and
excellent.
We're looking for tips on doing that. Now, we have two garden areas. Both of them, and I've heard that this could work against us, but we have very rich black soil.
Mm-hmm.
But we're wondering... one, about whether it's better to plant it in a shady area or in a sunny area.
Well, garlic,
general tips around planting garlic.
Right. So garlic, like most vegetables, really will perform better in full sun. So full sun is the first choice always. Now, as far as the soil goes, garlic can handle a lot of different soil types. It prefers a neutral to slightly alkaline kind of pH, so it doesn't grow really well if your pH is really acidic. So you might want to get your pH tested and make sure that, you know, you're in that right range. But it also likes a very well-drained soil. So, you know, whether or not it is a really rich black soil, to me is not going to be as important as whether or not it's well-drained. The garlic root system, it's planted in the fall, just like tulips and daffodils and other spring flowering bulbs. Garlic is planted in the fall, and one of the reasons for that is the soil is nice and warm. The root systems can develop, and in the right location, those garlic roots can go down 4 or 5 feet easily. So you want to get them in the ground. You want them to develop that root system through the fall, over winter, and then you'll start to see the top growth in the spring. It takes 9 months of growth to culture garlic, so you wouldn't be harvesting them until probably July. And there are a lot of different choices on the type of garlic you can grow. And I would suggest planting at least, you know, 3 or 4 different cultivars. You might try a hard neck and a soft neck type, just so that you can figure out which one grows best in your soil.
It's a good tip.
So how do you actually do it? I mean, do you break the cloves? Do you plant the individual cloves?
Right. So I would recommend that you buy garlic that is specifically grown for planting in Wisconsin. And you can go to a number of different websites in Wisconsin where they will sell you garlic that is specifically for our area, and you still will have a lot of different choices, and it's based on the pungency, the size of the garlic, and all of this. You know, you can choose which ones you want to try. They will sell it to you as, they call it garlic seed, but in actuality it's the individual cloves, and those cloves get planted like 3 to 4 inches deep. And then you will water it in. Some people will mulch over the winter to make sure that it stays down in the soil where it's supposed to go and doesn't come up and frost heave. But it's pretty basic. It's pretty simple process to do. And you just plant them a couple of inches apart. So you can pack in quite a bit of garlic in a small area.
There you go.
Okay, good. Then a quick second question then is, we heard you recommend to another caller that some believe that you should not
till your soil, right?
Till your soil at all?
Yeah, sure. That's the thing.
Yeah.
There are soils experts who truly, and they've got research to back it up, that when you till the soil, especially if you till it and till it and till it, you're just destroying the soil structure. And in the long run, it is much better to work with the soil that you have and try to, you know, you can amend it by adding compost even to the top of the soil without actually turning it in. But every time you turn the soil, you are messing up that soil structure. You're also turning over more and more weed seeds, because you're never going to get rid of the weed seeds that exist in your native soil. And every time you bring topsoil in, you're bringing in more weed seeds. And so sometimes a layering approach or just adding compost to the top layer is a better way to go. Like I said, it's not for everybody, and not everybody believes that. There are people who are still out there tilling their vegetable gardens twice a year and tilling throughout the season in between the rows. But if you look at the way even large-scale farming is going, they're trying everything to maintain that soil structure, and that's why you see corn stubble left in the fields and other plant remains in the field, and then they just drill right through that to plant the next crop.
Yeah, minimum
or tillage.
No-till.
Yep. Right, minimum tillage. Now, when you're starting a new garden, sometimes you feel like you need to break that soil up in order to be able to plant in it. But even doing that layering method with paper and compost and that sort of thing, by the spring, you can just plant right through it. You don't need to turn the soil at all.
Thanks a lot, Dale, for calling. Appreciate your call. Doug and Trevor, thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, this the good garden fall projects getting ready. I'm a home composter.
Mm-hmm.
I have a compost bin. A lot of people do, you know, smaller yards.
Right.
And you want to save the, I save the leaves mm-hmm. in a bag, and mm-hmm. I put it right next to my compost,
oh,
and
that's
I keep
excellent.
It dry. And I also do what the, like Larry does with the the straw bales. You get some extra straw.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the wintertime, it's like you got 5 to 6 months where your compost isn't doing anything.
Right.
And I take all my kitchen scraps, and it's mm-hmm. a lot of weight. It's a lot of stuff. And when I put them into my bin, I always layer some of that dry leaves out of the
right.
bag, or else my straw bale that I put a tarp over,
mm-hmm.
then you got that carbon, and then in the spring you don't have this big, giant, wet, sloppy mess. You know, that just
I am so with you on this, Doug. This is a fabulous tip, and it's something that I do at my house, too. I set up a separate bin, and in the fall I fill it with leaves and cover it so that when I bring out my table scraps throughout the winter, I can put a layer of table scraps and then a layer of nice dry leaves and then a layer of table. And then and you're right. When it comes time to turn that mess in the spring, if you haven't been doing that, it's pretty disgusting.
Stinky. Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Doug. That's a great idea.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you. Peggy in Shawano County, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry.
Yes, hi.
Hi, okay. Great show, by the way, and I have a couple, well, main question is, I grew yellow carrots this year,
mm-hmm.
and they did really, really well.
Oh, excellent.
The problem is, they're not sweet like my mm-hmm. other carrots. And I wondered, since they have a kind of a parsnip flavor, should I cover them and leave them in all winter and harvest them in the spring, and maybe will they be sweeter like parsnips are?
There's a possibility. So parsnips and carrots are related, but those root structures and also some of our plants in the cabbage family that go late into fall, the colder the temperatures, the sweeter the plants will be because they do start converting starch into simple sugars in order to produce those sugars that will help them survive the winter. And we know that carrots will overwinter. The challenge that you have with the carrot is that because it is a biennial, as soon as spring gets here and you're able to get into your garden, you know, that carrot is already going to be thinking about flowering. And so it will be depleting the reserves and all of those nice sweet things in the root to make that flowering stalk. And what I found with any kind of carrot is that when I try to harvest them in the spring, they really have kind of a bitter flavor to them, and their texture is a little bit different. So you could try it with some of them, but what I would recommend is that you wait until the weather is really super cold, but before the ground freezes, because otherwise you'll have to get out a jackhammer to get them out of the soil. But wait as long as possible to harvest them, but harvest them this fall before the ground freezes, and they will be as sweet as they are going to be.
All right, that's great advice. Plus, roasting them also tends to sweeten them.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes.
Roasted carrots are a wonderful fall vegetable.
Roasted or grilled.
Dish or grilled. Larry apparently wants to grill all of his vegetables.
I do, too. My husband is a griller, and he's so happy because he just loves grilling them. And we freeze them, actually, in flat packages and put them on our pizza in the winter.
Oh, excellent.
And all of those things are just fabulous.
Oh, I am getting so many great ideas today. I'm so excited. I'm going to go home and start putting things in my freezer.
Peggy, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. I love grilled
I like
vegetables.
Grilled vegetables, too. Oh. I just have never grilled carrots or cauliflower, but I do grill lot of other things. I have a huge bag of peppers waiting at home. I'm going to stick those on my grill this afternoon and roast them before I put them in the freezer.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Because it does enhance that sweetness. It makes them much sweeter.
Thanks again, Peggy. Margie in Mount Horeb, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I think I'm going to have to get a bigger freezer.
Me too.
I have a question about planting tulips
mm-hmm.
and daffodil dock
okay.
bulbs. I've
sure.
been doing this for years and years and years, and usually by this time, I'm able to get them into the ground
mm-hmm.
because it's gotten colder.
Right.
Well, I have well over 500 bulbs.
Wow, that's a big project.
Well, I get excited. ready to go into the ground,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know when I can plant them.
Well, is the weather not good in Mount Horeb for you to be able to get out there and get them in the ground?
Oh, I can get into the ground. I didn't know if it was cold enough.
Oh, it's fine. Yes. Usually, for most areas of the state, starting October, you can put put them in. And in the southern portion of the state, you can put bulbs in almost up until Thanksgiving. The later you wait to put them in, the less likely they will do well. But if you plant them too early, of course, you know, they sprout and you will have some challenges that way too. But
and
no, this is, for most areas, this is a great time to get them in the ground. And again, just like with the garlic, the soil is warm. We're getting good moisture. This is a fabulous time for those root systems to develop. And the more roots that you have developed going into winter, the better those plants and blooms will be in the spring.
Yeah.
The other thing that I do recommend, and I didn't mention this with the garlic, but it's true with all bulbs, this is one time when adding some extra fertilizer when you're planting those bulbs, including garlic, it's a great idea because you are getting a lot of that root development. And there are organic options for fertilizer as well as synthetic bulb fertilizer type products available. So I like to choose the one that's on sale personally, but choose one that has a nice balance between nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium that says it's good for bulb plants, and incorporate that when you are planting your bulbs, and that will help also.
Would you plant grasses and sedum now?
Sedum, yes. Grasses.
Melissa was wondering.
It's a little bit late to plant grasses.
Okay.
Whether we're talking lawn grasses, the best time for seeding lawns is, you know, that August to September time. But for ornamental grasses, it's a little risky planting grasses in the fall, especially late fall, because of the root system development also. They don't tend to do as well. Now, if you're getting them for free or they're a super sale price and you want to give it a try, go right ahead. But get them in the ground as soon as possible and make sure that you water them in.
And there you go.
But yeah, it's a good time to plant. I'm telling you, for most things, fall is the best
wonderful.
Time. It is the garden season. It's that neglected garden season because people just want to get into winter and hibernate.
Patty, thank you so much. Patty Nagai, UW Extension horticulture educator for Racine County. Isn't she great? She does so. It's always so much fun to have her on the show. She knows so very much. Judith Sears Poisson owns a lot too, and she knows that it's time for you to donate right now to Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know what? We have, we really want to thank the 78 people that donated last hour, new and returning members. Thank you so much for those pledges.
We really appreciate it. And right now we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500. This generous match comes from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. It means that they'll match every dollar you give, and it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, and Larry, you mentioned earlier that Master Gardeners actually can get continuing education credit for listening to Garden Talk. So what better reason to give right now? If you're a Master Gardener, you get continuing education credit, you keep expanding your knowledge, and the Master Gardener Association will match your donation up to $2,500.
And when you pledge, you're going to be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You could go to Cuba. You could go to South Africa, the Canadian Rockies.
So double your support for the programs you love, like Garden Talk, and get entered in the drawing. Do it all right now. This match is only good until 12:30. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the Garden Talk conversation today with Patty Nagai. She is a wonderful, wonderful person. And her expertise, I think it's an example of the expertise of many of our guests. And we have so much fun and so many informative conversations with this show.
It's true. So please take a few minutes right now to make this program and many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge. It's really that easy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters. Every pledge helps pay for the programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. And during this drive, You can ask for the new WPR water bottle.
It's great. It's a stainless steel bottle. It's a dark blue and light blue design. And you can show your support for WPR by ask for this bottle. When you give $12.50 a month, that comes out to $150 or more a year. The important thing is to make your gift now. Take advantage of the matching grant up to $2,500 right now from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's Football Friday. And to celebrate, everyone who pledges during the drive will be entered into a drawing for a pair of Skybox tickets to the Packers-Lions game, November 15th in Green Bay. Seven lucky winners will get a pair of tickets to watch the game from a comfortable suite right on the 40-yard line. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Find the details at WPR.org/drawing. Sustainers, you're automatically entered.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. And whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month or anything in between, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And maybe you're interested in playing a larger role to support WPR. Well, the 9XM Leadership Circle is a growing group of listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs.
Leadership Circle members want to make sure public radio will be here today and tomorrow for all who listen. If you'd like to increase your support to WPR and join that 9XM Leadership Circle, just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
So many of you listening probably know me as having been Larry's producer for the last, close to 5 years.
Long time.
Long time. Wonderful time. I have to say, as Larry's producer, I have learned so much from Larry, from his guests, and from each and every one of you, whether you email or call during the show. You know, it's really a community. It's almost like a family, or maybe even better, it's a bunch of friends that really like hanging out together. Being a part of this show has been so rewarding because the feedback we get from all of you about the topics, about the guests, about the information you get is so, it's just so satisfying to be part of this show and part of this network. I've moved on to be the executive producer of Central Time, but Larry and the Larry Mueller Show and Garden Talk will always have a special place in my heart. You don't get a show like this anywhere else. And this show is possible pledge by pledge only on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. So please show your support for Larry, for the show, and for the Ideas Network by giving now. WPR.org or 888-202-2555.
We have five more pledges to go to reach our goal, and when you pledge of any amount, you're entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You'd get to choose, sample the music and art of Cuba, experience South Africa, or see the beautiful Canadian Rockies. You don't have to donate to enter. Just go to WPR.org for all the details. Double your gift right now and get entered into the drawing at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, a pledge of any amount during this drive gets you entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip, but a pledge of any amount today and today only gets you entered into that amazing drawing for a pair of Packer tickets.
I know!
And
I
so,
want to go!
So it's, there are going to be seven pairs given away. Two WPR staff will be there. It's in a luxury suite, food, beverages, and hanging out with a bunch of really cool WPR listeners. So make your gift right now. You know, it's so easy, and you'll get entered in both drawings, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
These programs, Garden Talk show that we have every Friday, I think is probably one of our most popular programs on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we always, Judith and I have always appreciated all of the support from you as listeners to the program and as faithful gardeners. It's been so much fun. I hope you, if you haven't supported us yet with a financial gift, I hope you'll do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And I just want to share the great news that we have met our dollar for dollar match from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. Thank you to them. Thank you to you. But don't forget, today only gets you entered into the drawing for a pair of Packers tickets for the Sunday, November 15th game against the Detroit Lions. So many great reasons to give. The important thing is do it now. There's no time like the present. This is the last time during this drive to pledge to the Larry Miller Show, the last time to pledge to Garden Talk. So call go online to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Support your WPR listener. Please contribute right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.